Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
We talked last week about, and we're not varying too much, but we talked about guarding your heart, and then we talked about putting off the old man, putting on the new man. This was Paul's writing. Because as he was talking to the church at Ephesus, he was talking to the church at Ephesus, which is made up of people just like the church here in Conroe. It's made up of people. And so he was telling them, oh, don't live the way you used to live. Put off the old man and put on the new. But when he was talking about that, there was something that was in the middle. He said, put off the old man. So he's talking about putting off the way that you used to live. Then he said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. So I want to really kind of dig into what it means, and I want to talk. So I just changed the title of this series to Changing Your Course. It doesn't matter anyway. Matt and his media team will change whatever title I come up with. So I want to talk about the renewal process, the actual process of how you actually renew your mind. And so you're here on Wednesday night. You came out. I think you might want to get something good. Because if you really want to see change, somebody would like to see some things in your life change. And you would like to see some things that be different. How many of you really don't care? You just came here because you had nothing else to do. Okay, good. We're in the right spot. In Romans, if they would put this up, again, this is Paul writing to the church. He said, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good and pleasing and perfect will of God. We talked about that you have to do something with your bodies, that you can become a new creation. You can give your heart to the Lord. You can be so sincere. You can mean it. And you're still going to have to tell your body no, that your body will still want to do some of the things that it used to do. And so that's something that I think sometimes people have a hard time. They're like, well, how could they be a Christian and do that? The same way you could do it if you didn't tell yourself no. A living sacrifice. You know, in the Old Testament, they would take a sacrifice. They would take a bull or a goat or a sheep, and they would kill it and pull it on the altar. A living sacrifice is, it's still alive when you put it on the altar. Your flesh is still alive when you put it on the altar. It's kicking and screaming sometimes, and you tell it no. That's a living sacrifice. And no one else can sacrifice for you. I can't tell Joy, I'm going to fast this week so you don't eat. You can't fast for me. I have to do it myself. And so living sacrifice, no one can do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. But then he said, and don't be conformed or molded into this age, in the way that this age thinks, the way this age deals. He said, don't be molded into this age. The thing about this age is, if you don't do something intentional, it is so easy to be molded into this age. I've likened it to a current that just runs. It's in the earth. It runs. It's negative. It's anti-God. And if you don't do anything, it's easy to get swept up into that current. I started when I was 19. I just about a week or so away from turning 19 when I gave my heart to the Lord in Carbondale, Illinois, walking across a field. And I got filled with the Spirit. It was a very powerful summer experience for me. And when I went back to college, I was part of a fraternity. I'm living with some fraternity brothers who were, they majored in partying and minored in academics. And so when I got back together with them, in fact, I actually wrote about this in one of my devotionals for this week. What I didn't do was I didn't just put a stake in the ground and go, listen, guys, I'm a follower of Jesus now, and some things are going to change for me. I didn't do that. I should have. Easy to look back, but I didn't. It would have been good if I just said, this is who I am. This is where I identify. And so what happened was I did not openly identify with the Lord. I didn't have a church that I would go to. I got away from reading my Bible, and I wasn't praying. So you say, were you saved? Yes, I was. But without doing some things intentionally, it was very easy for me to get swept right back up into the current. And just a few months later, man, I'm back living the way I used to be. That's why I have such a heart for people who've come to the Lord. And then the biblical, well, not the biblical term, but the especially the church term is backslide. You heard that term before, right? Backslide means you started here and you slid back to some other place. And so I backslid right back to the way I used to. You could not tell much of a difference in me between where I was before I came to the Lord and where I was after. You say, well, I thought you came to the Lord. Yes, I thought you got filled with the Spirit. I did. So, well, what happened? I did not do what we're talking about tonight. And I did not, like I said, didn't have a church. But I'm talking to Wednesday night people. You have a church. Thank you. That was kind of weak, but on a woo. But you do have a church. And hopefully you have some Christian friends. And hopefully people around you know where you stand. This will help you more than you think. I talked to people when I was a singles pastor at Lakewood. I used to talk to people all the time, and a lot of times it would be the ladies that would come in, and they had met Mr. Wright. And my first question is he a believer? And oftentimes they would hesitate. And they would go, I think so. I'm like, how long y'all been dating? 3 months. That is no bueno. Amen. If you're dating 3 months and you can't tell whether that other person is a believer, something's going on here. Where did y'all go? I'm trying to save you a lot of heartache right here. You really, listen to me, single people, you need to meet someone who loves Jesus as much, if not more, than you do. Amen. That's a great way. I'd much rather, when I would say, are they a believer? And they would go, oh yeah, they love the Lord. That's okay. We're doing better there. Hey, this may be one of those nights, guys, so just hang on, all right? But as the single, listen, I've been doing this long enough to know that to avoid some heartaches, this is an area that you want to be sure of. And so, do they know you're a believer? You see, that, if they're wondering too, Houston, we have a problem. And so, it's good. You say, well, you know, Alan, if I'm vocal or if I let people know where I stand, then I limit my market. Yes, you do. But you want to limit your market. You don't want anybody and everybody. Be choosy. Okay. That was for someone. That was totally free. But it's so it says we do something with our bodies, but we have to do something to change our mind. He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that our lives are transformed. That word transform is a word where we get the word metamorphosis. That a caterpillar can wrap themselves in a cocoon or they can come out a beautiful butterfly. And so that's that same term. And this is the process that we're going through as we begin to renew our mind, our thinking, our attitudes, our mentality. And what happens is then what we begin to see is what God has done in us begins to show up outside. But to do that, we have to begin to be intentional about it. So let me give you, here's the thing about when we talk about thoughts, because I'm going to talk about thoughts tonight. A lot of times people don't think they really have a reason to examine how they think. And maybe this is the first time you're hearing this, or maybe you're in church and you're like, why does it matter how I think? It matters a lot how you think. And what we find is people who really focus in on how they think are often people who are in performance industries. If you're a golfer, a lot of golfers will have psychologists that will work with them. A lot of athletes, sports athletes, will have psychologists. They'll work with them because they're in performance industries and they recognize that they have to get their minds right if they're going to perform well. We're thinking, well, hey, Alan, that lets me out. I'm not in the performance industry. Well, actually, you are. Your whole life is a performance. And to do well, you also need to work on how you think. And so you say, well, what's that going to impact? It impacts everything. It impacts how you do. It impacts your mentality. It impacts your mental health. It impacts your relationships. It'll impact your career. It'll impact everything you do. And so you say, well, I've never had to examine my thoughts. That's why we want to talk about it. Because what happens is we grow up and we think a certain way and we develop certain thought patterns. And unless we really analyze those and deal with those, they'll stay with us. And they're thought patterns that we've established over time and have grown up with. So let's talk about the process of renewing our minds. Number first one is this. Notice your thoughts. Become more aware of how you're thinking, particularly thoughts that trouble you. Now, I think all of us have experienced this. Have you ever had a day you just had a good day? You're doing fine, and you get a phone call, and someone gives you some news that just caught you by surprise, and it's bad news. And so now you're like, you were doing good. Now you're not doing good. You've got thoughts that are going on. You weren't even thinking about this. And all of a sudden you're like, what? And these are troubling thoughts that come. Now that's something that comes from the outside. But here's the thing. A lot of times people have developed thought patterns that are troubling them anyway. And it's almost by default. They stay in these patterns. Just think about this. Thoughts about not having hope. Thoughts that are negative, thoughts that deal with fear, abandonment, the idea that no one knows or cares. So these are thoughts that people have. Now, we don't broadcast those thoughts, but these are thoughts that people have, and these are thoughts that can be troubling. And a lot of times, these are just simply thoughts that have developed because of how you were raised, thoughts you developed in the environment that you grew up in. I grew up in an environment, and both of my parents are in heaven now. Both my parents did the very best they could, I'm convinced of that. But they didn't know a lot of things. And in my family, we called it bad moods. They would now call my family and my mom clinically depressed. And there was a lot of mood disorders in my family. And so if you grow up in that environment can have an impact on you, whether you know it or not. It becomes actually a part of you. And so there's the old adage, more is caught than taught. And so if you ever notice that some of you who are adults, that you have some of the same patterns that your parents had, and you're thinking, well, I didn't want that. And what happens is either you adopt some of the same patterns or you violently oppose them and go a different way. But I realized that bad moods were part of my family's upbringing. And that's just how we dealt with stuff. In fact, it was okay. You know, I'd walk in the house and you could feel like it's like the atmospheric pressure in the house just dropped. I'd walk in the house and my sister's like, oh, Mom's in one of those moods. You're like, okay, steer clear of Mom. And then when Dad was into one of those moods, he was like, and Dad could be even worse. And so this is what I grew up in. And so I just got used to being that way. So I had a bad mood. It's kind of like it was okay. Well, what's your problem? Bad mood? Oh, okay. In my family now, the way we grew up, kids are in a bad mood, we're like, snap out of it. You need to come. We'll help you, but you need to come out of that. But where I grew up, it was like, oh, bad mood, no problem. So what happened is I grew up extremely moody and I would yield to depression. So this is why I know, don't look at me that way. And people say, well, Alan, aren't you embarrassed to talk about this? I'm not proud of it, but I'm not embarrassed because I know what Jesus set me free from. And so, no, I'm not embarrassed at all. And here's the deal. Here's the deal. There ain't no one of us in here perfect. Now, you might think joy is. And she may be close. There's none of us that are. We're all in a process. Can I tell you, I'm still in the process of renewing my mind, still in the process of changing. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and looking forward to those things which are ahead, I press for the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a better life that God has called us to. And so I can't live in the past. I've got to press for the goal. I'm not worried about my past. It is in my past. But if it helps you, I'll tell you about it. So I grew up very moody. I grew up dealing with depression. When I get to heaven, probably the first two people I'm going to meet are going to be my parents. They're going to be like, why did you tell that about us? And I'd say, because you're in a preacher's family, and that's just how it is. You need stories. So here was a thought that I had to deal with. To notice thoughts. And let me give you a verse, then I'll say. He said, well, Alan, how do I even notice thoughts? I mean, they're just part of my life. This is how I think. This is how I grew up. This is what I do. This is who I am. No, this is how you think. It's not who you are. And here's how you can begin. Some of you could say right now, you know what? Since I've been coming to church, since I've been reading my Bible, I've been starting to challenge some of the thoughts that I have. For Psalms 119, verse 130 says this, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. One of the biggest reasons, guys, I want to see you read your Bible is one, it gives you a chance to fellowship with God. Two, it feeds your spirit. But number three, it brings light in where there's darkness. And the more light you have, the more it contrasts the darkness. Now, I've never bought diamonds this way, but they say when they show you raw diamonds that they lay out, what, black velvet and put the diamonds on the black velvet because it creates a contrast. The more, listen, God's word will create a contrast and you begin to challenge how you think. I'll give you an example. Now, listen, for those of you who don't know this, I don't do any biblical coaching around here. I don't do any biblical counseling. Occasionally, I will visit with some key leaders or missionaries, but other than that, I don't do that. So if you're thinking I'm talking about people or, oh, I hope Alan doesn't tell my story, Alan doesn't know your story. So just, you're innocent as far as I'm concerned. So if you think I'm looking at you weird, I'm not. My dad grew up poor. He was actually orphaned for a while. And he grew up, at times he experienced hunger. He grew up in a single parent home in Georgia in the 40s and 50s. That's kind of rare. His dad abandoned them. His mom picked some horrible guys. So he had a rough childhood, and he was very smart, and he got ahead, put himself through Georgia Tech, smart man. But he was convinced that if he spoiled me, I would not make it in life. And so my father made sure that he did not spoil me. But the problem was that even though he had resources, he wouldn't give them to me because he needed me to do this on my own. Now, I'm not faulting him. This is what he thought he was doing the best thing he could for me. He did make me independent. He did give me a sense of responsibility. But the thought process in my mind was always, I'm on my own. I am on my own. I don't have help. You say, well, what's the big deal with that? Because when you bring that back over into your relationship with the Lord, it's very hard then to go to the Lord because you think the Lord is sitting back there with his arms crossed going, you're on your own. You see what I'm saying? For those of you who had good, loving parents, if you had two of them, what a blessing. If you had a father who was loving and generous and just was nurturing, you were incredibly blessed. Many people didn't. And my dad, again, he's trying to do the best he could. But that thought, I'm on my own, was a thought that began to catch me. And Joy would see it. She's like, why are you thinking this way? Joy had a stepfather who loved her and was all about her. So she believed that God would be good to her. I believed I was on my own. Does that make sense? So you say, well, how do you begin to change that? One, you got to notice it. You begin to notice the thoughts that are that take you up or down. You begin to notice thought patterns and recognize this is a time for me when my thoughts go wrong. And I need to be aware of that. And so I'm asking the Lord, help me be aware of my thoughts. I did a sermon, we did it in the prayer room on Friday. Keep me from evil. One of the things is like, Lord, help me with my thoughts. Alert me. Notice them. The first thing is, name them. Name them. Not name it and claim it. Name it and change it. Exposing thoughts, the fear, the anxiety, the dark thoughts. And here's the thing, out loud if possible. You see, a lot of times you have a thought and you can interrupt it by going, no, that's not right. See, one of the verses I quote a lot around here is Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I have to begin to take that thought when I begin to think God won't help me, I'm on my own. And I begin to replace that thought with and name that thought and go, no, that's wrong. That's not true. God said he would never leave me. He would never forsake me. He did not leave me on my own. In fact, he said I could boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I have help. I have help. You say, well, I don't have that problem. You got other problems. There's not a one of us in here that has a perfectly renewed mind. I honestly believe we'll be renewing our minds once we're in heaven. We're still going to continue to grow. If you think you're going to be a fat baby angel shooting arrows and sitting on a cloud, then heaven is not going to be fun for you. I think heaven is still going to be a growth environment. We're still going to be learning and growing. And this time there won't be any resistance. It'll be a great time. Hey, if I'm wrong, just come check me out. Tell me. Alan, you were wrong. Well, okay. We're still here. Hey. Notice the thoughts, fear thoughts, anxiety thoughts, hopeless thoughts, no one cares thoughts. And when you begin to notice those thoughts, you begin to go, no, no. You name those. That's not right. That's not right. But this is why you read your Bible, so you have something to fight back with. So you don't have to keep thinking the same thoughts. You can begin to think different thoughts. You can think thoughts that change you. Now, I left you when I was talking about how depressed and moody I was. Can I tell you, my wife would tell you, she said we were cooped up, you know, in the house because it's cold. She looked at me, she said, I want to tell you something. She said, being in the house with you is not a problem. I just enjoy it. Because I'm no longer moody and depressed. If you're moody and depressed, ain't nobody want to be around you. You don't want to be around you. But thank God there's freedom from that. And if you think that's your destiny because it was your grandmother and your mother and everybody else in your family, that's the thought you need to change. You got redeemed from that when you made Jesus your Lord. You're in a brand new family and you can think differently and you don't have to choose that as your destiny. It can change. Now, sometimes... Listen, I know no one looks at me and goes, Alan, I didn't choose depression. No, you may not have chosen it, but it's been the pattern of your life. And you can stop it. You can arrest it. You can catch it. You can begin to notice, this is when my thoughts go wrong. And I can begin to catch it, begin to go, no, I'm not going to think that way. And there's a great checklist. Show you in Philippians. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That's a checklist right there. It says fix your thoughts there, which means we have the ability to begin. Now, here's something you need to get a hold of. People say, I can't help what I think. You need to change that. Yeah. You need to change that. You can help what you think. Amen. It's your mind. And your mind is your property. And you can change it. Now, like I said, you may have had a pattern and you may have cut a groove in your thinking. That's a pretty deep groove, but you can come out of it. Amen. Appreciate that one amen and two amens over here. That's good, bro. Thank you. I appreciate that. But this young guy down here on the front, you can come out of it. So you don't know my family. Yeah, but you don't know what's happened to you in the new birth and who you are as a new creation and the power of the Holy Spirit who will help you. Listen, we're the ones with the advantage. We're not on the disadvantage. We're the ones who have strength on our side. We're not the ones hoping to make it. So this is a different thing. Is this making sense to any of you, or am I just preaching myself happy? But, did it change things? Yes. Has my thinking changed over the years? Yes. Is this instrumental? Did this help? I promise you, years ago, Joy would have just been scared to death to be cooped up with me for a long time because things were not good. Now, we loved each other, but I was hard to live with. And the reason I was hard to live with is because my thinking was wrong. And I'll tell you, I can launch into this, but okay, I'll go ahead. And you can come back next week. One of the biggest problems with my thinking was self-pity. Feeling sorry for myself. That opens the door to so much negativity. It opens the door to the enemy. It opens the door to so much. Because when you're in self-pity, what you forget to be is grateful. You forget what God's done for you. And you can get to the point where you're like, God hadn't done anything for me. You sure? Because if you lay your head down on the pillow tonight and you know you're saved, if you didn't happen to wake up, you know exactly where you would go. God's done something for you, my friend. He's done something you couldn't do on your own. But self-pity hurt me. Had to change it. So how'd you change it? I begin to take God's word and begin to examine my thoughts and then begin to have the honesty to go, that's wrong. That's wrong. And I don't want to live that way. Because here's the deal. When you're feeling sorry for yourself, people might feel sorry for you for a little bit. Then it gets old. And they may not tell you this. Joy will tell me this. It's old, Alan. But a lot of times people just start to avoid you. And so that's not what God created us for. He created us to be a light and a blessing and a help. And I'm telling you something, getting free from self-pity was such a blessing. See, do you ever fall back into it? Yeah, I start to catch myself, though. This time, see, what happens is you start to move back that way and you're like, no, I have been here before. We're not going there again. Lord, I want to thank you for what you have done. You are so good. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, I can take a breath. Thank you, I am standing upright. Thank you, I have people that care about me. Thank you, Lord. You have saved me. Thank you, Lord. You have been so good to me. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your graciousness. What are you doing? You're stopping that thought pattern. You're speaking out loud and you're declaring God's goodness and praise. I found the more grateful I am, the happier I am. And this the more I appreciate it. I talked to you guys months ago, and now it's become a habit. Every night, I write down at least three things I'm grateful for. Or then I've added something to it. I'll tell you about that next week. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, I pray, Father, for those right now, those who are here and those who are hearing me, those who have dealt with such debilitating negative thoughts. Thank you that there's hope. Thank you, Father, they don't have to stay that way. Thank you that there's help. Thank you, Lord. You haven't left us down here at the mercy of the enemy and the mercy of the darkness that's around us. Thank you. Thank you for the light. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here this evening and you say, Alan, I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm not sure about that. Or I was sure at one time and I've gotten away from Him and I want to come back. Either one of those situations apply to you, or if you're online watching and that applies to you, we're going to say a very simple prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up and I'm not going to have you come down to the front. Right there in your seat, right there at home, you can pray this prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If that's you I'm talking to, you say, Alan, I don't know where I stand with the Lord, but I want to know, would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up real quick across this auditorium? Say, would you pray for me? Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Great. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Yes. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand, you wanted to, you can still join in. This is a heart prayer. We're going to pray it with you as a church family, online, by yourself. Pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. But God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Head still bowed. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer, for those who've come to you, those who've come back here and online. Lord, thank you for the change that takes place in their spirit that can actually impact every part of their life. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for saving us. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.